BakerBots, LLP, provides podcasts for educational purposes only. They are not legal advice and are not intended to establish an attorney-client relationship. This communication may constitute attorney advertising.
Welcome to the Lawful Influence Podcast, where we pull back the curtain on legal issues in the world of campaign finance and lobbying. I'm your host, Sterling Marchand, coming to you from Washington, D.C., at that most wonderful time of the year to bring you a most cheerful reminder on ethics. In this episode, entitled It's a Wonderful 25 to Life, we are going to cover the relevant federal rules that might come up during the holidays, including providing gifts to federal officials, inviting them to parties and receptions. The goal is to give you some practical tips to keep you out of trouble and to keep all your days merry and bright. But an initial note of caution, we're only covering federal rules today. We'll go through the rules for Congress and then highlight the differences for the executive branch. But to the extent that you are communicating or wanting to invite state officials, there are definitely going to be different rules that apply. And although the consequences are not quite 25 to life, as I joke in the title, there are significant penalties for violating ethics rules. In extreme cases, punishment for bribery can include fines up to 3 times the amount of the bribe and prison time for up to 15 years. And if you are a registered lobbyist, you are required to regularly certify that you are in compliance with the ethics rules. And if you knowingly lie on that certification, you can be liable for up to $200,000 in civil penalties and face up to 5 years in prison. The point is, there are real stakes here, and it's important to get it right and to take the time to understand what is prohibited. There's a lot of nuance to what is allowed, and getting legal advice on the particulars of your situation is always going to be best practice. With that, let's jump right in. So we're going to start with the congressional ethics rules, and then we'll move into how the rules differ for the executive branch. And there's 2 areas I want to cover today, and the first is gifts. The term gift literally means anything of value. It can be physical items, money, gratuities, discounts, anything. And the general ethics rule when it comes to gifts is that no member, officer, or employee of the House or the Senate can accept a gift unless it is subject to an exception. And of course, there are over 20 different exceptions, and we're going to touch on the main ones that might apply at the holidays. So first, gifts from relatives are permitted regardless of the cost or the price of the gift. That's obviously a very narrow exception and not likely to apply to a lot of folks. The second one is gifts that are based on personal friendship are also permitted, again, regardless of the value of the gift. But this one only applies provided that the gifts are not given in exchange for some official action or favor, and provided that the donor and the recipient have a history of exchanging gifts on similar occasions. In other words, there has to be some actual basis for the personal friendship. You can't just claim that the senator is now your best friend and then provide the senator with a fancy gift. As an aside, and perhaps it goes without saying, but you should never offer a gift to anyone in the government in exchange for any official action or requesting some favor in return, even if that's explicit or stylized as a thank you for introducing this bill, that can cross the line and constitute bribery or illegal gratuities. If you're going to give a gift based on personal friendship and it's over $250, then the recipient of that gift would need to seek prior approval from the relevant ethics committee before accepting it. Another exception when it comes to gifts are products from the state that the member represents. And this is instances where the gift is intended for promotional purposes. So for example, a model of a plant or a product can be offered to your member's office if they intend to display it. Nominal value items for distribution are also permitted. So for example, say your company makes popcorn. You can send tins of popcorn to your congressional office for distribution to constituents. Along that same lines, gifts of nominal value are permitted. These are things like a greeting card or a baseball hat. Depending on whether the recipient is in the House or the Senate, there are different applications of this rule. So it's important to look specifically at the rules for each chamber. Finally, there's one other general exception, and that is that gifts that are less than $50 are permitted, provided that the cumulative value does not exceed $100 in a year. Now, there is an exception to the $50 rule, and that is that it does not apply to registered lobbyists, agents of foreign principals, or private entities that employ such individuals. So if you're a company that has lobbyists in-house or you contract with registered lobbyists, you can't use the $50 rule to send everyone in Congress a gift. Okay, so that's the rule on gifts, and those are the main exceptions when it comes to gifts. Let's talk about events, because what would the holidays be without receptions and parties? Because the term gift includes anything of value, inviting a congressional official or an employee to an event constitutes a gift, as does the food and beverage and entertainment that might be offered. Now, you can still do it, but you just need to know which exception applies. And generally, what it comes down to is who is going to be offering the invitation for attendance and how many people are going to be there. So generally speaking, the reception exception is the most applicable at the holidays. And for this exception, members and staff can accept invitations to events that are non-business in nature and not hosted by a registered lobbyist or a foreign agent. In that case, food or refreshments of nominal value can be provided at the reception, as long as it is not part of a meal. This is the infamous toothpick rule. And so, for example, appetizers, finger foods, things that fit on a toothpick, those are okay. Likewise, coffee, cocktails, soft drinks, those are all okay at a reception. If you start to move out of the area of nominal value, you know, $500 bottles of champagne, then this exception no longer applies. And again, anything that constitutes a meal, even if it seems nominal in value or is not technically a sit-down type event, for example, box lunches, pizza, sandwiches, that is not permitted under the reception exception either. So for receptions, the source of the invitation and the number of people attending are immaterial. But again, you're limited in terms of what food and drinks you can provide. If the reception has entertainment, that is generally permitted, as long as it's not a famous band, you know, like Dave Matthews or someone playing. That then crosses the line and becomes a concert and is subject to a different rule. The next event exception is what is referred to as the widely attended event. This allows you to offer members of Congress and their staff, plus a guest, free attendance at a widely attended event. Unlike the reception exception, this may include local transportation, meals, entertainment, and admission to the event itself, as long as the invitation is from the event organizer directly. And there must be an expectation that more than 25 people will attend who are not from Congress. There must also be the expectation that the invitee's attendance is related to their official duties. This may include a speaking role at the event or an opportunity for them to meet and speak with constituents. In the case of a widely attended event, collateral entertainment like an after party or giveaways are not covered. But otherwise, entertainment provided at the event to the large group is permitted. Similarly, free attendance to charity events is permitted, And again, that can include free dinner, transportation, and entertainment that is provided to all of the attendees. Unlike the widely attended event exception, this does not require that attendants be connected with their official duties. So that covers the universe of events. And I wanted to note that if a member or a staff receives a gift or an invitation to an event that is not acceptable under any of the exceptions or conditions that we've covered, then they have a few options. The first is that they can return the gift to the donor. The next is that they could pay the fair market value of the gift, or they can donate or destroy the gift. And remember that over a certain threshold, around $400, members and staff of Congress have to disclose the gift. So even if the gift is permitted under one of these exceptions, they may still have to report it in a publicly filed report. And so that will become disclosed to the public that you provided a gift, even if it's for a permissible purpose. So it's really important that you understand these rules before offering a gift or extending an invitation, because you may end up putting them in an awkward position of needing to either pay for the gift or return it or disclose it, in which case they will have to ask you for the fair market value of the gift. So that covers the congressional ethics rules, and let's turn now to the executive branch. The rules are similar, but there are some greater prohibitions. And the biggest one is that there's a general prohibition on executive branch employees accepting a gift from any prohibited source. And a prohibited source is defined as anyone seeking official action from the department or agency, or that does business with the department or agency, or that conducts activities regulated by the department or agency, or that has interests that may be affected by the performance or non-performance of the recipient's duties. So that's a mouthful. But what it basically comes down to is if you're a federal contractor, a federal vendor, a regulated company, you're going to be a prohibited source from the vantage point of any of the employees that the department or agency that you're doing business with or that you are regulated by. And if any aspect of the recipient's job might affect your company, then you're going to be a prohibited source. What this is getting at is that if the gift is being offered to someone and it may appear that it is being done in exchange for or to influence an official act, that's bribery. And even if it's just a thank you for doing your job, that can be viewed as an illegal gratuity. And so the executive branch ethics rules take a really bright line that you simply cannot provide a gift unless an exception applies. So there is an exception that permits gifts with a market value of $20 or less, provided the aggregate value does not exceed $50 in a calendar year. And this does not allow gifts of cash or gift cards. This would be physical items. So it's similar to the congressional rule, the 5100 rule. Here it's 2050. There's also a lobbyist gift ban that is applicable only to political appointees. And generally speaking, the exceptions to the gifts and the event rule that apply to executive branch employees do not apply if the source is a registered lobbyist or employs registered lobbyist, and the recipient is a political appointee. As to the exceptions to the gift ban, like with Congress, the executive branch employees can accept gifts from relatives or that are based on a personal relationship. There's also a similar exception for widely attended events, but for executive branch officials, they typically require pre-approval from the relevant ethics department that attendance at the event will be in the interest of their job. There's also a social invitation exception, which provides that an executive branch employee may accept food, refreshment, and entertainment at a social event attended by several persons, as long as the invitation is not from a prohibited source. So that's it. That covers the executive branch rules, the congressional rules, and the exceptions. Everything you need to know to not run afoul of the ethics rules. but to still be able to reach out to folks and spread some good cheer. So I hope you all enjoy the upcoming holidays. Until next time, I'm Sterling Marchand, wishing you a happy and ethical holidays.
Thank you for listening to this BakerBots podcast. BakerBots has the experience, knowledge, and people to solve our clients' most significant legal issues. For more information on BakerBots practices, please visit us at bakerbots.com. This presentation is provided by BakerBots LLP for educational and informational purposes only. It is not legal advice and is not intended to establish an attorney-client relationship. Under the rules of certain jurisdictions, this communication may constitute attorney advertising.